book of Romans tonight. The book of Romans. I'm excited about tonight's study. And the reason that I'm excited about tonight's study is one problem that I've had on Sunday evenings is I like having direction and having purpose and being clear, and that's why I like sermon series. And so tonight is going to be the first in a series. One problem I have on Sunday evenings is that it's been hard to establish series because we're blessed with young preachers. And man, I want to give those young preachers time to preach. I think it's a great thing. But I don't know, it's just never dawned on me that we form an alliance and preach a series together. And so that's what we're going to do in the days that lie ahead. We're going to go through the book of Romans. And you're not only going to hear from me, I think it's good that you have the variety of speakers. And I think it's good for me to be preached to on occasion. And so we're going to begin this series in the book of Romans tonight. And I'm going to be asking some of our other preachers in the church to join me in this series. So you'll be hearing from several different speakers. But I'm going to speak tonight and I'm going to speak next Sunday evening. An introduction in this book of Romans. And we begin Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ken Storm, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Romans is a very interesting book. And as we start this, I want you to understand the excitement that is within me as we begin to explore this book. And the reason I'm excited is because I believe Paul was excited when he was writing it. We tend to start books and we tend to read books like this. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle of God, separated to the gospel, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scripture. I don't believe that's the way Paul wrote it. As a matter of fact, I believe just the opposite. I believe there is a sense of excitement as Paul writes this book of Romans. Why do I think? Well, because you just look at such verses like chapter 1, verse 15, as Paul says, "So much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also." And I don't think he's saying, "I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome." There's power. There's excitement. The next verse, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek." He's not just kind of throwing that out there. He's preaching as he's writing this. And it goes on and on. And Father, I beseech you, chapter 12, where it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." You know, you see the excitement. And I want you to begin with an excitement, the same excitement that I have. Are you excited? Okay, preacher, let's go, all right? Three things I want you to know about Paul in this introduction. We find, number one, the first thing in verse 1, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Now, this isn't just religious language. You know, this isn't just church terms. Paul's trying to get a point across. The Romans would have been very familiar with this term, bond servant. It's one who's subjected wholly to the will and the disposal of his masters. And there were about 6 million slaves in the Roman Empire. A slave in that day was considered a piece of property. Now, except for the Jew. The Jew was encouraged by God himself to treat their slave or their servant kindly. There were a couple reasons you'd be. Actually, 3 reasons that you would be a bond slave. Number one, debt that you could not pay. You would have been sold into slavery because of that debt. Number two, poverty. Men would sell themselves because they were too poor to make a living themselves. The third reason, and this is Paul's reason, was a slave by choice. Now, you may not can imagine this, but by choice, a slave on occasion would look at his life, and when it come every 7 years it was time for a slave to be released, every once in a while, this slave would back up and he'd say, "Wait a minute. I love my master. He's good to me. I'm better off now than I was when I was without a master. I don't want to be released." And so he would commit himself for life. And they would drive, I think the Bible calls it, an awl through the lobe of his ear and stick him to the doorpost and pierce his ear. And it was a sign that he was a bond servant for life. And he chose that lifestyle. And that's what Paul is trying to get across to the reader here. That he's not a slave because he has to be. He's a slave because he's chosen to be. To give his life to Jesus Christ. Do you realize how much better off you are with Jesus than without Jesus? I mean, let's think about it. As bad as this life can get, there's one thing that cannot be taken from you. And that is Jesus Christ. You know? May lose your home, you may lose every dime that you have, but there's one thing that you have that's safe and secure in Jesus Christ, and that is salvation. Oh, Paul is proudly proclaiming. When he uses this term bondservant, he's using this term with pride, saying, "I am a bondservant. I have chosen to be a bondservant of Jesus Christ." Second thing I want to point out to you. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. That word "called" means to summon or commission. Apostle, of course, a representative. One, it literally means one who is sent. And in the New Testament use of the word, it's one who has been invited or summoned and has accepted the call and become a member of an elite group. And I want you to stop right there. As Paul declares himself or declares his apostleship, I want you to think he's not declaring it with regret. He's declaring it with thanksgiving. See, Paul considered who he was to be a blessing of God. Now, you know how he came out. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was climbing the religious ladder. He was the bright and upcoming star of the Jewish religion. Paul said he counted all that for nothing, except for what's for Jesus Christ. And as he declares his apostleship here, he's declaring it. Well, 1 Corinthians 15:10 put it this way: "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." And I think Paul was very pleased and proud of what he was in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he might have been looked down upon by men, but he knew what it meant to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he knew the blessing that it was. And here's where I want to stop, and I want us to consider what we are. Now, there are no apostles in this congregation tonight. None. Zip. Nada. Why? Because you've never been with the Lord Jesus Christ personally. Okay? and that was one of the requirements. But I do want you to understand that you are ambassador of Christ, called to be a servant of the Most High God. And lest it become commonplace, we need to back up every once in a while and just count our blessings and consider what an honor it is to be a child of God. Do you realize you do not have to come to church on Sunday evening? Amen. Preacher, what am I doing here, right? Now, I just think about it. You do not have to come to church on Sunday morning. You do not have to serve the Lord. You get to come to church on Sunday morning. You get to come to church on Sunday evening. Do you realize I don't have to preach? I get to preach. Big difference at the way you look at it. You realize we as a church don't have to remodel a building. We get to do a building remodel. We don't have to tithe. We get to tithe. You want to know why Christians get sour? Have you ever seen that old sour Christian who just sat there and this is all they were? Because they don't get it. They don't get, as Paul declares, you know, I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm called to be apostle. I want you to understand you are what you are by the grace of God. You are called into the position that you serve the Lord in. You are called to be a member of Victory. You are placed here, and it is not a drudgery. It is a privilege. Be careful. Because I'll be honest with you, on occasion I get that I've got to. Syndrome. And it'll run you down. It will ruin your attitude and your outlook. I want you to realize you don't have to do anything tonight. You get to serve the Lord. As a matter of fact, when you start looking at it like I've got to, somewhere after that you're also going to realize you don't have to, and somewhere after that you won't. You want to know why we have 350, 400 on Sunday morning? And we don't have 350, 400 on Sunday night? Because some people realize they don't have to. I want you to know it's a privilege. I also want you to know what a privilege it is to be a part of a New Testament church. In a world that says you don't need church. I want to tell you something. I need church. It is an honor and a privilege to be counted as the pastor of Victory Baptist Church. Not only as the pastor, it is the privilege to be a part of the body. You know, as Paul declared who he was, a bondservant, chosen slave of Jesus Christ, or he chose to be a slave of Jesus Christ, called, he had answered the call to his apostleship. He's saying it with a whole different attitude than the way we usually view what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to see that excitement, as I said in the beginning. I want you to see that attitude. Called to be an apostle. Separated to the gospel of God. Separate, set apart. Paul says, I have a very special job, and my job is the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's your job? What's your job? And how do you feel about that job? Okay? What did God place you here? I'll tell you one thing God placed you here. You're here to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know that? The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, in a world of bad things, Paul had a good message. That's what the word gospel means. It means good news. And Paul knew that in a world where the Jews, and he's going to get into keeping the law and everything that they would preach for salvation. Paul knew it didn't work. As a matter of fact, I tend to think that even the Jews themselves knew that they were failing at keeping the law. There was nothing, there was no joy there, because every time you turn around, you'd fail. How many fail? You want to know what the greatest blessing of failure is? The grace of God. See, that's the good news. Even though all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, this message is still, you can go to heaven and you can have a relationship through Jesus Christ. Even though you're a child of God and every other day you make a really pitiful mistake and you sin, and you, there's still a message of forgiveness. See, Paul knew that. That's why, as he's declaring who he is, this apostle separated to the gospel, you see the excitement. I want to say, if there's something the world needs, it's good news. I've just almost got to the point where I can't watch news anymore because it's bad news. And maybe I'm slanted, but all you hear these days are slams upon our new president, and he ain't even got into position yet, you know? All you hear is division in society. It's the blacks against the whites, the Hispanics against the whites or black. And it's just sad. The world needs some good news. And we have to realize that good news has been placed in our care. That red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight, right? You see, this message, I guess, tonight, the goal is for us to realize, wow, we're the salt and light of the world. We have what makes a difference. We have the opportunity, and we're blessed with the opportunity to be a light in a dark and dying world. And we have the best job in the world as a child of God to spread the good news. And people need to hear it. I know, in today's world, we'll probably hear people say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear that God stuff. Well, sometimes we got to tell them what they don't want to hear. But we got to tell them in love. Because, folks, we are the only hope that this world has in the message of Jesus Christ. If this world, if our community is going to change, it's going to be because you and I look at our position in Christ, much like Paul did. We choose to be who we are, bondservants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're excited to have the message of the gospel. We're excited to have the secret, the cure for the heartaches and the despair in this world. We go on. Declare to be the Son of God. I'm sorry, verse 3. Concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Now I want you to just back up, and I want you to think about what you have in Jesus Christ and how real it is. You see, Paul knew Jesus was the real thing. And you know how he knew? Well, first of all, he saw Jesus firsthand. Can you imagine on the road to Damascus when he was struck with blindness? And Jesus asked the question, why? Why do you persecute me, Saul? And Saul cried out, who are you, Lord? I love that part. Who are you, Lord? He knew who he was. He wouldn't have called him Lord, right? And who are you, Lord? Jesus said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. It's hard to kick against the pricks. Now, Paul knew that Jesus was alive at this point. This was the one that was crucified. When he's writing this, I don't know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 years after the death of Christ. And Paul's writing it with just as much conviction if he had met Jesus yesterday. And you know why? He had. He walked with Jesus on a daily basis. Paul knew that Jesus was the Son of God because Paul knew he was alive. And I'm going to stop right there for just a moment. And I want to ask you, do you know that Jesus is alive? I mean, really, I want you to think about that statement. He's not a story. He's not a fairy tale. When I was years ago, I had the blessing, the opportunity to go to Israel and see Israel and on a trip with Brother Neil Clark. And
And when I got back, my niece, I was talking to her, and she made a statement. She said, "You mean that's a real place?" I said, "Yeah, that's a real place." You know, in her mind, it was just kind of some little story about a land far, far away. It was a real place. But I fear that today, that's kind of the way people look at Jesus. A man that lived a long time ago and died. I want to tell you something. He's alive. See, that makes him who he is. There's no one else in the world who has risen from the grave. This is the Jesus that you have committed to serve. And let me add a little more to that. Because he lives, you too shall live as a child of God. You see, Paul knew that. That's how he got. That's how he was so fired up. That's why I say he's writing this in excitement. You know, he knew the power of Jesus Christ. Then we go on, and through him, verse 5, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now, Paul makes the statement, we have received grace. That's divine presence, divine favor. And when he says, we've received grace and apostleship, that word apostleship means to send someone off. Okay? Apostle means one that's sent. Apostleship meant to send them. Okay? That's the act of sending. Right? And so, as Paul gets to the last part of the text that we read, he says, I want you to know, we have experienced, not only are we called, not only are we separated the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we have received a special manifestation, a divine presence and favor. And we've been sent on a mission. You see, Paul was a man on a mission. He was a man that everywhere he went, there was one thing he had on his mind. As he put it, I determined not to know anything but Christ and Him crucified. That was the gospel message. Okay? That's the obedience that he's talking about. That word obedience means submission or compliance. Paul, in this verse 5, when he says, we've received grace and apostleship, it's translated for obedience. It literally says into obedience. Paul's saying, I've received everything I need to be obedient, to pursue the mission that God has sent me on. My goal, my desire for this church, for myself and for you, is that we be a church on a mission this year. That we see the big picture. And I want to tell you something. The big picture is not that I've got trouble today. The big picture is not that times are hard right now. I'm having marital problems. I'm having children problems. I'm having problems at work. That's not the big picture. The big picture is, what are you here for? You're here as a minister of the gospel. You're here to be salt and light. You're here to make a difference. To be people on a mission. That's what Paul's here for. He was here as a man on a mission. And his job was very simple. That was to submit and comply to the call that God had made on his life. Make it a little more clearly. Paul's mission was God's the boss. Let me ask you a question. Who's the boss? Is it God? Are you, you know, you have that. I love the mentality of Paul. It didn't matter where God sent him. He went. Are you ready? What if God calls you to a new ministry this year? Yeah? Are you ready? Well, no, I don't know, Brother Doug. Why not? Why not? Okay? You've been placed here for a purpose. You know, let's get ready to serve. Let's get ready for God to put us on a mission. And let's be ready to submit to that mission and to the leadership of God. Because of what verse 6 says. See, Paul just went down the list of everything he was. And he says in verse 5, verse 6, he says, oh, by the way, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. Paul said, you know what he's saying? He's saying, and it's not just me. It's you. It's all of us. You know, it's easy to look and to think, well, you know, it's the teacher's job to teach. It's the preacher's job to preach. It's the, you know, deacon's jobs to deacon. What's your job? You, my friends, no matter who you are, if you're a child of God, you are the called of Jesus Christ. That puts you as being a person with a mission. And if you're not on a mission, maybe it's time we get on our knees and say, God, what mission do you have for me? Because you're not here by accident. God has something for you. What is it? What is it? I pray that you and I both will have that determination, that excitement. Because you know what? The gospel of Jesus Christ still changes lives. The story of the crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ still transforms lives. And I just pray that you and I will have a renewed zeal, a renewed excitement about our calling in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you, number one, a child of God? Have you come to that point in your life where you cried out to God for salvation? Because, beloved, there's salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. Number two, are you on a mission? Okay? If you are a child of God, are you on a mission? If not, why not? You are the called. Yeah, I like that that definite article, the called. All right? That makes you stand out. You are the called. People on a mission. Are you ready to serve? Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the day. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, for the example of the Apostle Paul. We thank you just for his attitude and his zeal, his fire, his desire. And I pray, Lord, I pray for us tonight that you will place that zeal, that fire within us, that we'd have a renewed passion for the gospel message and sharing that gospel message, that we'd have a renewed passion for our ministry and our service to you. I pray, Lord, that renewed passion start in me and that it spread throughout all this congregation from the pulpit to the pews. Lord, send the fires of revival among us, that we may take the message from inside these walls outside to our community. And I pray now, Lord, if for those who are here that do not know you as their personal Savior, I pray that you'll impress upon them right now the importance of committing their life to you. I pray, Lord, that you will convict them of sin and that they will call upon you for salvation and they will make that public tonight. And I pray, Lord, your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray.